If it's true, I don't want him. We will discuss this coming up as part of our Falcon Report if you're just joining us. Falcons, by the way, continue their preparation for the Cardinals. You missed our interview with Coach Rye yesterday. Very good stuff. And Kirk Cousins, who answered all of the questions Mike and I presented to him. The one he did not answer clearly, which, again, he doesn't have to right now, is what's this offseason going to look like for you? And do you want to return because you are under contract? But he also understands that the Falcons are going to have to lower that cap hit and probably restructure, which means there's some negotiating that has to go on. And, Mike, what did he say to us when you asked that question?
That is a February conversation.
Yeah.
And then, like, and look, we said this yesterday, and it's not a knock. I mean, hey, you know, if you got representation and it's good and you don't win Super Bowls but you're stacking checks, that's the knock on Kirk. He hasn't won any playoff games, but he makes mad loot, you know, in his career. And that would be another opportunity to perhaps have the Falcons over a barrel and twist and turn the knife or whatever. So I'm mixing metaphors. You're over a barrel with a knife in your hand. You get the idea.
Yes, I do. Wes Durham's going to join us, the voice of our Atlanta Falcons, guys. He is going to join us here coming up at around 4:20. We'll ask him not only about what's going on there, but his thoughts on the college football playoff. And speaking of the college football playoff, can we talk some dogs? I don't know who did it. I don't know who did it, but it's out there.
It's gold. Did you laugh? I laughed out loud when I heard the audio. Did you laugh?
Well, Kirby is going in on his offense, and if you're going, well, how would you guys know? Because he, because he's on a microphone.
Maybe they're going to turn the speaker. Him. Maybe they're going to turn the speaker down.
Well, look,
you know, just a little bit. I mean, so the players can, coaches can hear it, but you should be able to hear it outside of Butt Smear,
yeah.
Or you should be able to hear it at Grindhouse.
I agree.
Down Lumpkin, basically.
That's how far this felt like it was going. It was echoing down the street. But, Kirby, you're not watching practice. Nobody, it's close practices.
Right.
But you hear his voice in the videos out there where he's just, I mean, literally going in, you guys aren't blah, 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 doing anything I need. Blah, 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 blah.
He's yelling at coaches, too.
Oh,
he's yelling at everybody.
But here's the deal. We got 2 weeks, 3 weeks before they play, and he's going in on guys like this. Guys, they are waiting, January 1st, they are awaiting the winner of, actually, next week, after Tulane and Ole Miss play this weekend. Right, you're talking about the quarterfinals. So Georgia will get the winner of that game, and that's going to be January 1. He's going in like this game's tomorrow. And look, I'm not surprised. We've all talked to guys throughout the years that Kirby's been there about how hard he coaches guys. And look, some guys aren't built for that. We asked Jalen Walker about this. He was like, man, look, he gets after you. And if you're not ready to handle that, then Georgia's not the place for you. But we also know, Mike, he produces winners. And so I think his whole deal is he doesn't want to lose any intensity. This is a downtime. The guys could easily be lax. Hey, Tulane, Ole Miss, let's sit back, watch what happens, and we'll get after it next week.
Right.
The way he was going after his guys, it didn't feel that way.
I mean, it's just – and sometimes – and you wish it wouldn't if you're a Georgia coaching staff member, but sometimes that audio will leak out of the locker room. I mean, I get it. I don't know. It just, if whatever level of sport you played, if you're lucky enough to get to college, it just takes you back to high school in some cases. I love it. I get the biggest kick out of here and just getting, you know, GATA, you know, as Irk Russell used to say, getting after that ours. It's gold. And I know that we can joke around about, you know, is this what you have to be? Look, you don't always have to yell, but I think there's a time and place. I think yes, there's a great time to get somebody's attention by just doing that. And I don't know how often, because if you do it every day, you're going to tune out. We've always said that. But I just think it's kind of cool when you can kind of lift go behind the curtain and just hear how they operate. And, yeah, he's so old school. That's as old school as it gets in 2025.
No doubt. But I also think it's why his teams are good.
There's accountability.
Yeah, I'm not telling you, but it's not the yelling. It's not the yelling. It is you either going to do your job or somebody else is going to do it.
Period.
Like, that's really what this is about. And, like, if you're not doing your job to the best of your ability, he is always going to push you to do better. And so, guys, look, everybody, the best player you've ever seen takes days off. The best player you've ever seen takes practices off, plays off. It just happens because we're humans. His job is to make sure that when he sees that, that's not good enough. And that is really, Mike, what he's doing with these guys. But, yeah, the video or the audio is out there. There is no video because it's a closed practice, but Mike and I were cracking up about it. Meanwhile, let's talk about this because Joel Klatt came out and said, we don't want to see Cinderella's in the college football playoff.
And he's right.
Is he?
Yes.
Tulane plays Ole Miss. There are only two Cinderellas in this, okay? When I say Cinderellas, the expectation of Ole Miss, Oregon, it is a huge upset based on resources, budget, players, blah, blah, blah. And the same applies for Tulane, who already lost to Ole Miss, and if they were to beat them, it would be a big upset. I don't want to hear about Lane Kiffin leaving. We all knew that was going to happen. But those are really the two only Cinderellas. Miami and A&M is not a Cinderella, right? Ohio State's awaiting the winner there. Georgia's awaiting the winner of the Ole Miss Tulane game. And then you talk about Indiana being the number one team in the country. Alabama, Oklahoma, Mike, to me, may be the most intriguing game this weekend.
Right, and because these guys are going toe-to-toe with the NFL, we get arguably the best game on a Friday night. You mentioned that, a noon start, 11 a.m. in College Station for Miami and A&M because they don't want to go toe-to-toe with the NFL, which is, it's criminal. That's a game that should be primetime Saturday night. And again, as we said, I made the mistake last year of stepping on the NFL's toes, and I was corrected by some members of Falcons ownership that the NFL had the Saturday event mid-December for like four decades. So as college is stepping on their territory, mid-December, the NFL makes the pivot to Saturday and Sunday games. Yeah, last year, Boise State shouldn't have been there, and they got throttled by Penn State, 31-14. You know, we've talked, and that was in the Fiesta Bowl. My point about the Cinderella, when Boise State beat Oklahoma years ago, that's a great game. When UCF beats an Auburn in the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, or they beat Baylor in a Fiesta Bowl, that's great. They don't have the resource, they don't have the depth to go and win three playoff games, Carl, because they may be able to surprise somebody on any given whatever day, but to me, it's the cream rises to the top, and the teams that have the depth will just simply smoke these guys. That's why, let them have, take whatever, however you want to cobble it together, have the Ivy League, have the MAC, have all your little schools, and then put them together over there, and let them have the bye. Tulane and James Madison get the bye in that, and let the other schools try to knock them off.
You know who I think the Cinderellas are? Texas Tech. They ain't never been here. They've never lived here. You know who the Cinderella is? Indiana. They ain't never been here. Indiana's never had pressure to be number one and go through a college football play.
Right.
To me, those are Cinderellas. When you talk about Georgia, Ohio State, it's the norm. Like, these teams in the first round that have a chance to do something incredible and upsetting Oregon or potentially Ole Miss, like, it's hit or miss. But, like, at the end of the day, nobody expected Texas Tech to be the number four team in the country, and certainly most people did not expect Indiana.
But as you said, if you watch them, they're really good defensively.
No, they are. They're loaded. And what's changed is NIL has allowed them to be here. That is the difference between why Tech has never been here and why they are. And Indiana got a hell of a coach, and then you add that element to it. And, oh, by the way, their quarterback is now the Heisman Trophy winner. Let's hear Joel Klatt real quick talk about this, because Mike says no Cinderella. Some people say, hey, this is great. It's great if you got a 68-team bracket. This is not that. Here's Joel Klatt.
The reason the group of five is included in this playoff is to avoid antitrust litigation. That's it, guys. Period. Like, we're not looking for a Cinderella. Nobody cares in football about James Madison or you know, the equivalent of George Mason going. Didn't George Mason go to the Final Four or
they
something?
They did, yes.
Nobody cares in football about that. We don't want Cinderellas. We want the best teams playing each other at the end.
He's right. Indiana last year with Cignetti, they played kind of conservative, I thought, in nasty conditions in Notre Dame in South Bend last year. They lost 27-17, but they didn't they didn't embarrass themselves. They made it respectable. But now, as you said, now we're going to see if they're ready for prime time. Non-traditional teams, to Carl's point you just made about NIL and everything else, now we get to see some new pieces. Arizona State, I thought, was a Cinderella last year.
I did, too.
You know,
and they almost won.
With Scataboo, they darn near should have beat Texas.
Yep.
It was a penalty that wasn't called. But anyway, yeah, here in Atlanta. So I'm excited about that.
That was a clean hit.
But I don't need to see, with all due respect to Stakey, hey, Cha-Cha, and Tulane, and especially JMU. No way. You're wasting our time and you're wasting a space. That should be Vanderbilt and Notre Dame, period.
That I agree with you on. That would be a more intriguing matchup.
Right.
To me. If you told me it was...
Would you rather see Notre Dame at Oregon now, right?
Yes, and Vandy and Oregon.
Or Vandy at Oregon, right.
Or Vandy and Ole Miss. Right. I'm with you on that. But here's the other part of that. If you're going to have a fair and equitable system that says, hey, we're going to allow these other teams to have a chance to make it, this is where it's at. Guys, and if they expand to 16, and by the way, Greg Sankey has said he believes that's the next step. It's not 20, it's 16. That means you're going to have 11 bids from the Power Four, and then you're going to get two more additional teams that would be added, like a James Madison or a Tulane, Mike, to allow this system to say, hey, we're being fair and equitable. You may not agree with it.
But that's, again, and Joel Klatt laid it out. That's just to avoid litigation.
Of course.
That's where that's at. Hey, news today, and there's a couple of sources. UGA Football Live has it, that Florida running back Jaden Buff is entering the portal. And if he does, apparently Georgia has a shot at him. This is a guy who's an 1,100-yard rusher with a 8 touchdowns for the Gators last year. So okay. We'll see if that one pays. And I know Georgia's got a pretty solid depth chart now for the running back room. But just interesting, if Georgia could get their hands on him, that's a hell of a lot more impressive what he did when ETN did. Remember, the ETN hype never lived up to it.
No. Day-Day says he's a Georgia boy. Trying to maybe come back home.
Yeah, he's out of Atlanta. I was double-checking. I want to say he went to Woodward.
Okay.
Columbia. Okay. Columbia. That's right. He sure did. Went to Columbia.
Okay. Yep. So maybe Mike, that's
Coach
the play.
G, yeah.
How about that? So, again, you look, that the rich get richer. And we talked earlier, if you missed it, you can go back and rewind for Georgia Tech fans. Because, yes, so like, why don't you talk Tech? We did. Chad Bishop was on talking about how Brent Key, like everybody else out there, is trying to fill the holes. So they got to find a new OC.
All right, guys. Wes Durham's going to join us. We'll talk Falcons with him. We'll also get his thoughts on the college football playoff.
Hey, would you – by the way – you put it on Tuesday, Wednesday night, somebody will watch.
If the games are good.
Did you realize, I didn't have this in Guy Talk yesterday, the highest rated football game on CBS all this year was Army-Navy?
No, I didn't see that.
Army-Navy was the highest college game, highest ranked television game that CBS, think of the Big Ten games that CBS had, some of the Big 12, and it was Army-Navy that put up the big number for our boys Nessler and Danielson.
Well, look, first of all, the pageantry in that game, and Mike, we know, and we weren't there this year, but we had been there the last few years, is incredible. But there's nothing else on.
But it also goes to show you, if Brad's listening, sorry, Brad, how uncompelling some of those Big Ten games were that CBS
no doubt.
Had.
There's no doubt in that. He'd probably say that privately. All right, man, coming up, West Durham's going to join us. We'll also get some guy talk in here. Falcon Report, we will tell you the latest report that's out there. Whether you believe it or not, we just report what's out there. It's Dukes and Bell. It's that kind of day. It really is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this music is warmer. I was walking the dogs today. True. It wasn't like freezing out there.
No. I mean, getting up the last few days, it was cold. I left overseas. It was colder here than it was there. And I'm like, what's the deal? I mean, like, I get back here and it's in the 20s.
Right.
So, good news is, I don't know if you've seen this or not, because we play meteorologist on the radio. It's going to be like 70-something on Christmas.
Giddy up. Nice.
Seriously.
Oh, that's nice.
I don't know if you've seen
that's
it.
That's nice.
Early, like maybe 70, but still, the point is it's not going to be 34. Hey, man, Wes Durham is here, the voice of our Atlanta Falcons. We'd like to say Wes
Durham.
Wes, good to talk with you. Hey, man, how you doing, brother? You good?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Man, we're doing well. Had a great conversation yesterday with Kirk Cousins, and that's where I want to start with your assessment of what went down last week, the Tampa drive, which was incredible, and him making plays. And, you know, Rod joked with us about the whole got to find a way. And he said, look, I'm being serious. Like, we found a way in the Tampa game. There have been other games this year. We have not done that. Talk to me about what you see and what you are witnessing with Cousins as he's getting, it feels like, very comfortable again.
Yeah, I think Kirk has played well. I think the element that you're looking at is a guy who, number one, has started a lot of games in this league. I don't think we can ever lose sight of that, right? And we talked about it a lot last year. I mean, Sunday in Arizona is going to be his 165th start, okay? So that's a lot of football, and this will only be his 20th start in Atlanta. But I think what you saw last week collectively, Carl and Mike, you know, like all the things that went wrong in the five-game skid went right last Thursday night.
Right.
I mean, even down to like Neusel recovering a fumble. Which of all the people to recover a fumble, you tell me Ryan Neusel recovered it, right? I mean, so some of that was just happenstance based on the way the year's gone. And probably some of those people, when the holding call was made on Jake Matthews, right, and it was 3rd and 28, Bell, among others, probably thought, well, here we go again.
Right.
I mean, we're going to lose another, you know, whatever, 3-point game or something. And for me, I looked at it, Carl and Mike, as – if they find a way here, now they got 14 on the first play to Kyle, and then for Sills to convert the 4th and 14, again, I mean, I think Kirk deserves a lot of credit. Now, he kills Tampa. That is statistically noted. Kyle Pitts kills Tampa. That's statistically noted. But the fact that you had Sills, Neusel, guys like that make plays the other night, that is that keep fight mentality that I think Ra's talking about to find a way.
Wes, we talked to Kirk about this. We asked Coach about it, too. You know, when we were handicapping this season, now, like, Mooney had some injuries. We thought, why couldn't Pitts step in to that position? And they just never seem to get Pitts involved. It's either Drake. And I said, why is it mutually exclusive? And Kirk says, look, I've played where the tight end and the wide receiver both have monster days. You know, that would be really something to see in these next 3 weeks, especially with all of a sudden a big decision about Kyle Pitts, which I didn't think we were going to have to make.
Well, that's true, too. I wasn't sure midseason we were going to have to make a big decision either. But now he's put together, you know, 338 yards in the last three games. That's the most in a three-game span in about 3 years since George Kittle did it. I mean, you start thinking about what he is, and now did you have to lose Drake London to see that? Mm. And London obviously has been gone for four games. Hope to see him back on Sunday. And if so, then, you know, what does that look like? And how does it impact who else has made contributions on this team? And so, yeah, I think there are going to be some decisions to be made. And look, I felt like whether the season ended with, you know, three wins in your last four or no wins in your last four, there were going to have to be decisions made. The Pitts thing was coming to fruition one way or the other this year, guys. You know that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think yesterday I caught part of your show and y'all were going to play, you're going to throw some names out there, stay or go, right?
Yeah, right.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think that's what every team has to do. But in Atlanta's case right now, I think it's fair to look at that and also say, okay, wait a second, how much money do we have? How much money do we have to spend on free agency, and what's our postscript going to look like? Because it's highly unlikely, in my opinion, now this is just me, it's highly unlikely you get that one back, okay? So you're going to have to live with that at least for the time being.
Yeah.
So you got to make two, three, and four count. And I think we got two threes. Is that right? Am I correct on
I
that?
Believe
I know
so,
we have
yes.
a two.
Yes.
Yeah. There's two threes, and a four.
That's right.
So you got to make those. You got to make those four picks count. And by the way, we can, after six straight games with a sack, Mike, I think we can kill off the James Pierce, you know, bad deal.
Oh, no, I was off that about 3 or 4 weeks back, Wes. I mean, no one remembers the number one. It is what it is. You got the best pure pass rusher since Claude Humphrey in this organization right now.
Well, and you got – here's the other thing, too. You've got now a scenario where, you know, last year Atlanta only had 31 sacks, and we got 48 with three to go. And we trailed Denver by 10, and we're second, but we got 15 sacks by rookies, guys. That's 9 more than any other team in the league.
It's promising.
Think about that.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah. Oh, very promising. Defensively, I think whatever the payoff was, the risk-reward was, I think that side's paid off. Now, can you see what you can do financially to keep this group together? You know, 7's coming back. How do you handle the quarterback paradigm? And that's what it's going to be.
Yep.
What does that look like? And then, you know, in your offensive line, you know, what are you thinking? And how do you add to the skill side of it? Because I think those are the kind of situations that are going to play out here before next year.
How much do you think – we really haven't talked about it because, you know, we knew this at the start of the season and it was like, oh. But McGarry not being here and not being on this old line and what it has meant or not meant to – what we've wanted to do. You know, the statistics at the beginning of the season, it's Wes Durham, guys, voice of our Atlanta Falcons, joining us here on Dukes and Bell. The stats said we ran to his side more than anybody else, right? We ran behind him more than anybody else, like, you know, 51 or the 47 or 46 or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. What has it meant to not have him? And, like, if this offense, does it look that much different? Is the run game so much more better with McGarry?
It's a good question. I don't know that I mean, because I don't sit in those meeting rooms, not only the coaches meeting, but the player room too. I think they're the only ones that have to tell you. They'd be the only ones that can tell you. That might be something Raheem can tell you next week or week after.
Yeah.
Because I think that's a fair assessing question to ask about, okay, have you missed Caleb McGarry as much as you thought you would?
Right.
And that's really the question, Carl, right? I mean, as it relates to the run game, have you still been good enough? And, by the way, if you've gone left more than you've gone right, statistically, has that taken, you know, a mile or two off the wagon of Jake Matthews? Or, you know, what is Matthew? See, to me, the guy whose value has doubled this year is Matthew Bergeron.
Right.
And Matthew, when he's been healthy, I think he's been terrific.
Yep.
You knew Lindstrom was good. I think Neusel has been fine. I think Elijah Wilkinson, for all the concerns, and granted, I was with you guys. There was concerns there. But he's been fine, too, for the most part. I think that I think it's a really good question, and I think it's one that, you know, you kind of got to get an answer for. Again, that goes into this puzzle we're talking about. You know what else goes into the puzzle? Tyler Allgeier.
Yeah. And, Wes, I said it the other day, and I said it to Carl just off the air. To me, he's kind of in that same spot where Michael DeBurner Turner was in San Diego, behind LaDainian Tomlinson, and then came here. He's already got 1,000 yards on his resume. And whether it's going to be, you know, most NFL backfields, it's a tandem, but he can make more money elsewhere. And I hate to lose him, but I think he's got to go for it and make the big payday.
Well, it takes away the bowling ball of razor blades. That's why.
Exactly.
I'm one of the reasons I hate losing him. I mean, you kidding? When he gets cranked up and he just starts leveling people. But I think you have to understand, and again, here's the other discussion. You have to understand the value and longevity of a running back. And if you did not have a top five back already in your backfield, would you think of it differently? And you probably would. But you have, when he's right, and he's been right all this year, you've got a full-blown showstopper in the backfield. I mean, we have now got, the comparisons are clear. We've got another Christian McCaffrey in our backfield. That's what he is.
Wes, let's shift gears. I want to ask you about the college football playoff. Am I crazy?
Holy cow, Carl. Tomorrow night, Norman, Oklahoma. Hello.
It's going to be big. But I got to ask you, because I know you saw him in calling games in the ACC and all over the country. Sure. Am I crazy to think Miami's going to hang with A&M at home?
Miami A&M might be the best game of the weekend.
Okay.
Absolutely. Best offensive and defensive lines in the event belong to Miami and Texas A&M. And it's going to be a street fight now. I mean, I think that you're talking about quality players on both sides of the ball for both teams. You've got skilled guys who can make plays. Marcel Reed and Carson Beck, they're good quarterbacks. You've got running backs. Le'Veon Moss is supposed to be back in the lineup for A&M. Miami's got a combination of guys, Mark Fletcher, Marty Brown, Gerard Pringle. I mean, you got showstoppers on the perimeter, Casey Concepcion for Texas A&M, who took the money and ran from Raleigh to College Station. And you got Malachi Toney, who arguably might be the most explosive freshman of the year in all of college football. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a hell of a show. And Miami's catching a break because it's at noon or 11 a.m. at Kyle Field.
Right.
If it were 8 o'clock, it'd be a house of horrors down there. You know that.
But that's the thing, Wes.
I think it'll be a great game.
Yeah, I said to Carl, it is what it is because, you know, I made this point last year, but it's a wrong point to make because the NFL has played on mid-December Saturdays for decades, and so college technically is stepping on their toes. But to have Alabama, Oklahoma, that's a marquee game for Saturday night. That's Friday night. The game you just mentioned, that should also be maybe a Saturday night game. Mm-hmm. But they don't want to put their best stuff. So basically we're getting the likely blowouts going up against the NFL.
Yeah, well, they learned their lesson from a year ago. They have moved these games around to stay away from the NFL since they're stubborn and want to play opposite the NFL. Now, I don't have many issues with the college football playoff. But I do have issues with their television acumen, why they consistently want to go bang their head against the wall against the NFL.
Right.
But they do, and I'm just going to let them go do it for a while until they figure this out. But at least they've moved the games around. Like, to play the Alabama-Oklahoma game tomorrow night, I think, is smart. To play A&M and Miami at noon is smart. I'm sorry for Ole Miss Tulane and James Madison, Oregon, that it's going to be, you know, opposite the NFL games, but I think they'll survive. But these two other games are going to get huge numbers for the CFP. There's no question.
All right. It's going to be interesting.
Nice to have you back in the country, by the way. You apparently, unlike Bell, you cleared, you know, everything fine and clean, no issues, no paperwork at the table, right?
No, not at all. Actually, it was really easy. I will tell you the easiest part, ironically, if you've not traveled internationally, customs here back in Atlanta, literally, the line flew because they have this new device where literally it scans your face, bloop, and you're gone.
Right.
And
it's
Do you have to walk the 10 miles, though? Slick now.
You still have to walk the 10 miles. I had a brother literally.
Yeah, you got all, yeah, no. Yeah. I mean, it's like you land in Conyers. Yeah, now.
No doubt.
It's right. Like,
but I had a guy in a cart goes, y'all want to ride? And a lady,
No, you didn't. I swear.
And a lady goes, is it that far to customs?
Yeah.
And he goes, yes, it is.
There was an older couple who was coming back from Germany on the Falcons trip.
Sure.
And there's a couple from, and they were from here in Georgia. They go, how far is this walk? I go, it's about half a mile. And they're like, really? I go, I'm not kidding. And for those who've never flown internationally, when you come into either the E or the F, it's for some reason they don't have a train for us. It's just, it goes on forever.
Yeah, but I will tell you, though, even when we landed overseas, it was a long walk. I don't know if it was as long, but it's almost, you know what they're trying to do? They're trying to slow you down to get the lines reasonable. Because if can you imagine getting off the plane and immediately being in customs? The lines would be outrageous.
Right.
So literally,
yeah, but I don't know that they had to put customs out there in Norfolk.
Oh, I'm with you now. Trust me. That's crazy. But yeah, man, great stuff. And I obviously appreciate the love, man. But had a good time and looking forward to this college football playoff. Looking forward to
how long were you gone, Carl?
That's not important.
6 weeks.
Work out that, what kind of package did we get on that paid time?
6 weeks, Wes.
That's not
six
important,
weeks.
Wes. It's not important. Listen,
6 weeks, Mike? Really?
He's gone 6 weeks.
Damn.
You know what? You guys are full of it.
I want to tell you what now. When you get build up that kind of acumen, that, you know what, though? That's when you got the highest rated afternoon sports talk
show.
Thank
you, sir. Thank you, Wes. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Just bonuses and incentives.
You're the only guy who didn't fill in, Wes.
Well, not like I wasn't asked. I just wasn't going to work that out financially. And we couldn't get that done.
It was down to Wes Durham, Bruno Kirby, and I believe it was Jeff Foxworthy.
I heard Bo was on with you one day.
That, we got along. We actually got through it.
Now, that was the unholy alliance of Atlanta radio right there.
Right on.
Man, it was good.
Having a child has mellowed him.
Yeah, I had a guy hit me up, and he said, hey, man, it's cool to hear all these voices. I said, yes, it's good. And, you know, different voices.
Yeah,
it's nice.
It takes a village to replace Carl, I said a few times.
All right, man, we got to roll, Wes. Thank you so much, as always. Have a great call this weekend.
Hey, have a great Christmas. We'll talk to you
soon. You too, brother. Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Absolutely. Falcons at Cardinals this weekend. Late start, guys. We're in the 4 o'clock window. Pregame at 2, kicks at 4. Here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, we just got word. Want to mention it. We'll talk more about it. Mike, I know you got Guy Talk coming up, but he's going to make his return tonight versus Charlotte. We're talking about Trey Young. Sources have told various outlets, including ESPN, that he will make his return tonight. He's been out since October 29th. Sprain right MCL in a win against Brooklyn. Hawks went 13-9 without him, but it sounds like and it feels like Trey Young will be playing tonight.
Man, we have talked so much about how does he mesh with the new-look offense because he only had 4 games with all the new pieces they added.
All right, man, what do we have coming up in Guy Talk?
Hey, man, Nick Saban says there's a team playing this weekend in college that pipes in fake crowd noise. We'll get into that, and unfortunately, we do have a tragedy in the NASCAR family. I'll explain. Where to play is play. Hey, man, Friday edition of Dukes and Bell and a Friday edition of Ender Ende all going to be at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw, right there off Barrett Parkway. Come and join the party, pal. So it'll start at 11, and we'll take it all the way to 6, baby. Maybe somebody will stick there for all 7 hours and hopefully take an Uber. But again, guys, Twin Peaks tomorrow. Get a little holiday cheer. Ho, ho, ho with Dukes and Bell and Andy and Randy as well. All right, I was just telling Carl the story during the commercial break. Sad news. Let me get the sad news out of the way. Especially this time of year, man, just a week before Christmas, Greg Biffle, who was the first of 3 drivers to win both the Truck Series and then the Busch Series, and his family apparently dead in a plane crash in Statesville, North Carolina, which is northwest of Charlotte. He was apparently going to be basically flying around Florida into the Bahamas today with his family. And eyewitnesses say there was some form of engine trouble. He was trying to make it back. We don't know if specifically he was at the controls of the plane. The plane was owned by Greg Biffle, but a guy that I think you and I both interviewed at different times in our career. Great, great guy. One of the first drivers from the Pacific Northwest to kind of make an impression nationally in NASCAR. And if you remember back in 05, his best season came second to Tony Stewart. When the hurricane and all the flooding hit North Carolina, Greg Biffle is one of the guys who really sprang into action. He was also a helicopter pilot, and he was helping to get resources and aid to the folks who needed it, you know, up there in Asheville, up in western North Carolina. So Greg Biffle, they have not confirmed because they're still going through the wreckage, but other friends of the family have confirmed they were planning on flying today. Mm. Greg Biffle and his entire family dead today up there in Carolina. I saw that, and it was like, I got chills. Just brutal, brutal news.
It is, man. And I asked Mike, because to your point about his pilot experience, I didn't know if he was flying the plane or someone else was, but
right.
But either way, man, I'm sure more details to come as the investigation continues, but certainly somber news there.
A son, daughter, and his wife, also with some other friends apparently on the plane. You can get details by going up to Charlotte. It's out there. ESPN's got the story as well. All right, man, switching, no way to segue out of it. Did you see what Nick Saban said today? He went on Pat McAfee, and it's interesting because it does have something to do with who we're going to see in action this weekend in the college football playoff. Nick Saban maintains in his experience coaching that he feels they pump in fake crowd noise at the home of the 12th man, Kyle
Really?
Field. How about them apples?
Wow, because it
Come
is...
Come on, Aggies.
It is loud. It is loud. There's no doubt.
So you're buying what Nick Saban is putting down. I know you wouldn't put it past those people, being a Longhorn fan.
Yeah, no, look, I've been in that stadium numerous times, and they've expanded it like so many places around the country. They've enclosed it, which makes it even louder. There was the open end, and it wasn't as loud, but it was still loud. I don't know, Mike, because I've been there, and I've heard it, and I would not have guessed that they are piping in music or whatever the hell they're piping in. But if Nick's saying it, it wouldn't surprise me.
He goes, Kyle Field's a noisiest place, plus they pipe in the noise. I guarantee it.
Okay, wouldn't surprise me.
Can't hear yourself think out there.
Cheaters.
A&M playing at home is a huge advantage.
Yeah, Aggies.
And, well, Miami has never played in front of 70,000 people this season. Of course, they never sell out at Hard Rock. Florida State made the decision to shrink their stadium. So this will be the largest crowd at Kyle Field with just shy of 100 grand, right, up there.
It is at
College Station.
Yeah, and look, I'm curious with the early start. If this is a night game.
Right, 11 a.m. But yeah. Miami did sleepwalk on a Central Time start, I want to say, in Fort Worth with SMU.
They did.
Right,
they did.
Or is that Dallas?
It's Dallas, yeah. And they got caught sleeping. Yeah.
Have you seen the viral video, guys? David Pollack sent it to me, and then I reposted it. You may have seen it already. I presume the video, if guys have particulars on this, was in somewhere in North Georgia or somewhere where somebody would have a son who's a Georgia fan. They got these kids, elementary school kids, trying to sing Rocky Top, and the young man in the back row refuses. He shakes his head and is basically smirking as if he is literally, Carl, a 30- or 40-year-old adult. I mean, the kid, he literally looks like, I mean, it could almost be a little Kirby if Kirby was a pudgy kid growing up in Bainbridge. I mean, it's absolutely adorable. There's a couple of kids who aren't singing, but there's obviously some dudes who are Georgia fans in that crowd where the kids are singing Rocky Top, and he says, ain't gonna do it.
Let me tell you what that kid is. That kid was raised right.
That's what the memes people are saying, and Pollack and everyone's saying, it just means more.
That's what
they're SEC country.
That's what it is, man. Like, listen, I don't know at what age you became aware of.
Well, I told him that he's a bad MF for me.
Thank you, Kirby. What age you became aware of who to cheer for and who not to cheer for, Mike? And this young man has obviously been molded
right
in his young years that, you know what, anything Tennessee is not going over with me, bro.
Right on. So he says, no, we'll not do it. All right, man, we got some developing stories. Everybody was on the Sharon Moore story up in Michigan. And that's just a sad example of human frailty. How about that? And then another story came out, and people were saying, hey, why are we talking about the Ohio University coach? Well, first off, it's Ohio University. Nobody gives a crap. But it is a situation that has now gone public, because now the public records have come out that Ohio University, that's the Bobcats. That's not the Ohio. That's the little one.
Correct.
That's the one with the good band in Athens, Ohio. Brian Smith allegedly having an affair with an undergrad co-ed and allegedly serving alcohol in the coach's office, which is a no-no. So fired with cause from the other Ohio University.
So he served her a cocktail or two before they got it on. That's what you're telling me?
So anyway, for those that were wondering, how come you're not talking about that guy? Well, now the news is out. And again, for folks that want to make it into a racialist thing, there's a big difference between Michigan and Ohio University.
No, it is.
But now the truth is out there.
Well, listen, the human flaw in both of these situations is what it is. But Mike's right. I mean, at the end of the day, I think a lot of this goes on across the country, Mike, with smaller schools, and nobody talks about it.
Right.
But Michigan, this was the guy. This is why this is a big deal. This was the guy that Harbaugh put in his contract to take over when he left. So for Harbaugh to trust in him and the values in which he believed Sharon Moore was all about, like, that's the big deal. I'm going to leave, but this is the guy that has to get the job.
Right.
And then he gets the job, and then this is how it plays out, which is why so many Michigan players are like, we feel betrayed.
Right.
But listen, they'll get past this. As far as, you know, these guys coaching again, Mike, is this the one thing you can't do?
Yeah, it's kind of one of our favorite movies. Carl and I love politics. We don't talk a lot of politics, but the Ides of March, the George Clooney movie with Ryan Gosling.
It's excellent.
Where he goes, hey, man, you can do this, but you can't.
Can't do this.
Blank the interns.
Can't do this.
And that's kind of where it's at. You ever seen The Ides of March, Oren? Great movie about a political campaign where Clooney is like this a governor of, I suppose, I think Pennsylvania running for president. Check it out. It's really good. Hey, man. Reese Davis says he regrets now voting for Diego Pavia after Pavia showed his butt and a classless video calling out the voters of the Heisman he later apologized for.
Well, of course he had to. Because you know what? I think enough people around him, including his head coach, at Vandy, probably gave him a word or two. Look, in the moment, you can have this ego, Mike, and once the award is announced and you're not the winner, to know that you were in that room and you were a finalist, it's pretty cool.
Right.
Don't screw this up. Don't screw it up even more. And you look like a petulant child by saying the things that you said, and all of a sudden now it's, you know, I'm going to take my ball and go home. So glad the kid apologized. Listen, I love his swagger on the field. It's why he was successful this year. But then that there's a crossover. You're becoming the Johnny Manziel type, right? Who just like you want people to dislike you by saying these kinds of things. Keep talking.
Right. So that's certainly, like, will be a question that will be asked. His maturity, just like Johnny Football was asked at the Combine. I mean, whether you think it's right or wrong, we've heard, you know, these questions do get answered. You get 15 minutes with a bunch of teams looking for a quarterback. Yeah. Hey, we might be having a conversation with Pavia, but he's probably going to go in the first round.
No, listen. Yeah. I've said I think he's a really good college quarterback. I don't know what the evals are when it comes to looking at him, projecting him for the draft.
Right.
But his spirit and the way he plays.
You love it.
You love it.
Right. But just got to dial up a little more maturity, my man. Hey, I heard this soundbite the other day. I didn't get to it yesterday because we were up at the branch. But I heard this Big Bo Johnson played on Andy Randy. Tiger Woods, in an interview, was asked about dream foursomes playing golf. Listen up, Smoltz, if you're in your car.
Best celebrity foursome that you've ever played around with?
Smoltz, McLavin, and Maddox, and they were all pitching with the Braves. That was epic. I shot 62, 63, and lost money.
Best professional athlete, non-golfer that you don't golf course.
It's either Smoltz or Romo. They both can play golf really well.
What's the funniest thing a fan has ever said to you on a golf course?
A female asked me to sign something, then the security guard told her to put that away, and nothing happened.
Dream celebrity foursome that you'd want to play around?
It wouldn't be a foursome. It'd be my dad, myself, and Charlie.
Aw, nice. So Tiger having some fun and letting his guard down. Thought that was really cool. Imagine playing with the Braves at their most braviness. You know, the three Cy Young Award winners. We all know John Smoltz, I've got a chance, you and I have seen him play in some of these tournaments we've been invited to play in. But how about that? Tiger saying Smoltz is that dude.
Well, he just told you shot a 62 and lost money?
Yes.
Come on, bro.
Because like with a handicap and or
correct
skins.
Yeah, that's bananas.
Yeah, and we've love to be a fly on the wall for that one. Hey, we still got some time. Got about a minute here. It's Guy Talk, guys. Trey Young, according to Shams Charania, why couldn't the Hawks just give that story to Lauren Williams of the AJC? Well, anyway, Shams got it first that Trey supposedly will return tonight against the Hornets. More on that coming up on Dukes and Bell. All right, man. Do you guys, real quick, go around the room. Yay or nay? Day-day. Is Die Hard a Christmas movie? Die Hard, Christmas movie. Yes or no?
I've never participated in this debate.
When you're hanging out with your family around the Christmas time, would you watch Die Hard?
What are you talking about?
Yeah, what are you, abstaining? What the hell?
I mean, it never comes up in our house.
Is it a Christmas movie? Answer the question. So the answer is no. Oren, Die Hard, Christmas movie, yay or nay?
Day Day. You know what they did for the DVD like anniversary set for that?
Right.
What? The box was a Christmas cookie box and it was designed like a sweater. So yep. The answer is yes, it is a Christmas movie.
That I didn't know, but yes, yep. I'm with you because. Aren't they playing Run DMC in that movie?
It starts with Run DMC. It ends with Let It Snow.
Thank you.
Carl, if this is Christmas, I've got to be here for New Year's.
I'm just trying to tell
you. Not that they stereotyped our guy, the limo driver. But yeah, ho, ho, ho.
He's there on the West Coast.
Now I have a machine gun.
He's there on the West Coast to see his family for Christmas. The event in question is a Christmas party.
Let me ask you, it's a Christmas movie. I never participate in this debate because I don't care. This is one of those where I don't care.
You got to loosen up.
No, but hear me out. Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this.
Go ahead, Daddy. Ruin this.
That's not ruining it. I'm just asking a question.
When
Christmas comes around and you decide to, I want to watch Christmas movies,
Do
you put this on?
Is yes,
this
absolutely. On? Yes.
I'm just asking.
Yeah, because it's going to be on TNT or TBS. Like, was it TNT or TBS runs Ralphie the Christmas Story?
All 24, 48 hours.
I'll watch that three or four times.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love it, man. Hans Gruber is one of the greatest villains in film of all time.
I mean,
time.
I love the movie. I just don't. To
it's
me, I don't care.
It's in the rotation. I'm watching Elf. Okay. I'm going to watch Home Alone 1, the first one. If you're asking me, like, between now and Christmas, which has already started, and we do this movie thing where we try to watch movies that we have not seen.
Right.
But, like, if I'm just watching, I've got to watch. I've definitely got to watch
Right. And just real quick, we got a break and come back and talk Falcons. In the same line, and if you know your movies, one of my favorite, Carl and I, when I first met Carl, we used to do Merton Riggs. Michael Hunsucker, baby, jump out the window. Hey, man, then I would imagine Lethal Weapon is, too, a Christmas movie, guys. The Christmas lights are on when Mr. Joshua is getting his butt kicked by Riggs.
That's right.
But he throws him the nightstick.
Yeah.
Remember, that whole thing is all around Christmas time, L.A. So, matter of fact, Mel Gibson is doing the Coke deal for about a bunch of Christmas trees.
So I would give Die Hard more of a Christmas movie than Lethal Weapon, but yes. But in the same vein, though, you got to ask, like, is Gremlins a Christmas movie? Because he got the gremlin as an actual Christmas gift.
I think you could throw it in there.
No, that's true. That's true. I don't know if Lethal Weapon, the backdrop, is as evident as it is in Die Hard. Mike makes a great point.
Well, when Michael Hunsaker gets blown away, he is drinking eggnog. You got off easy.
Come on, man. Pump this up. This is what they're playing at the beginning of Die Hard.
Carl, you going to say it? Your boss is roasting his nuts on Sunset Boulevard.
All right, we're coming back. Reports are out there that upper-level personnel still are fond of him.
Who?
What?
Who?
It's Dukes and Bell.